warmed up a little bit, so it's kind of nice outside now. Been cold and chilly, and God's brought us a little different winter than we're used to having here. And but it's a way that it shows His glory. And tonight I'm going to be talking about called to glory. And I love this image, this picture that we see from the Hubble telescope. And it's, I believe they call it the Eye of God, or some have called it that. But it's a nebula. And it's amazing that our telescopes can reach out into the universe and see all these amazing galaxies. Not just solar systems, but galaxies. And millions upon millions of galaxies. And God made it all. Glory. He is glorious. I have, Debbie and I went to Colorado a couple years ago, and in the drive back from Colorado Springs to Salida, there's an overlook, and we were coming back at night. And we stopped at that overlook and looked up at the sky, and it was almost like you could take your hand and reach it up through the stars and just swish around. Glory. The glory of the mountains, the majesty. All over, we just open our eyes and we see glory. Sometimes the glory I don't think we often see is in one another. The glory of God that dwells within us. And I want you to remember that you were created and you were called to glory. You were created for glory. Last week, Glenn talked about mission. And he talked about our mission. And talked about all the different aspects of different types of mission. But the one thing I wanted him to say was the mission that is all of our mission. And that's to glorify God. Our mission on this earth is to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says this: "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all." That doesn't leave anything out. Do it all for the glory of God. And so we think about our jobs, our students think about school and stuff, and we think those are just things that we have to do. But let me tell you what, God calls you to glorify Him in those things. To glorify as you are parenting your children. Or as you are being a grandparent, to glorify God in the way you interact with them. In all you say, in all you do, even in your eating and drinking, glorify God. And oftentimes we struggle with that word. I hadn't planned to do this, but I was reading in Exodus chapter 33, and I don't have the slides up for this, but let's go to Exodus chapter 33, and it's Moses and dealing with the glory of God, and verse 12, chapter 33. And I love this because I think this is kind of where we are. We want to know why God does what He does. We want to know our purpose. We want to know all of these things. And here's Moses, and he's led the people out, and he's up on the mountain. And Moses says to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways." This is Moses wanting, "Teach me. Show me your ways. And if you have found favor with me," I'm sorry, I lost my place there. "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you." Oh, I love that. Is that what my goal is? I want to know God. I want to know Him. "So that I may know you, continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people, and we know that we are the people of God." The Lord replied, "My presence," oh, I love this, "my presence will go with you." His presence goes with us. It's different today than it was with Moses. But we are temples of the Holy Spirit. You are bought with the price. He says, glorify God in your body. You are temples. And so He dwells with us. And His presence goes with us. And He says, and I will give you rest. And there's the kind of rest He gives us is not the kind of rest where we lay our head on the pillow. There's rest in our spirits and in our hearts when we are in that relationship with God, when we depend on Him. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. He understood that without God, that they were incapable of moving forward. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this very thing because you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And He says the same thing to us. I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Wow. I don't know if you've ever thought about that statement. Before God, and he's speaking with Him, and He's hearing His voice, and He says, okay, now show me your glory. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But He said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Too much for Moses in the flesh. Too much for any of us to see God face to face in the flesh. This flesh is not made for that. It's corruptible. It's not worthy to see that kind of glory. But look what He does. He says, then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and I'll cover you with my hand. That was protection. He was protecting Moses from the awe of the glory of God that he was not capable of witnessing with his eyes. But He puts His hand over him. Until I have passed by, then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. God's trailing glory, but my face must not be seen. And then what does He do? He reveals Himself to Moses and gives him the law, gives him the commandments. And so we see this glory being shown to Moses. In this reference to the glory of God, he's asking, okay, God, reveal it. And that's something that we long for. I long to see His face. I long to see glory. But I do see it. I see it in you. I see it in what God has created. I see His glory everywhere. I see His handiwork everywhere. And oftentimes we get so bogged down in the struggles of the world and the pain and conflict of this world that we don't look to glory. We don't see that glory that God is laid out before us. In the Old Testament, the most common word for glory is the Hebrew word kabod, which means heavy in weight. I want you to think about that. When you think about the word glory, it's heavy in weight. When you glorify someone, you recognize his importance or the weight of some desirable uniqueness he possesses. Beauty, majesty, splendor are the main ideas that word conveys. But there's also another Hebrew word that's connected to glory, and it's called shekan, which is almost identical to the word kavod, but it means to settle and inhabit or dwell. But it's not a temporary dwelling. It's a permanent dwelling. And he would use that in reference, my glory is in the land, or my glory will be upon you. And now we are told that we are temples of glory. That glory dwells inside of us. It's permanent. God's presence rests with us. As we look at this word and what it means for us as Christians, I don't think we really often contemplate what being called to glory means. I believe it is what sustained the apostles when they faced persecution. They had a vision of glory. They could see it without even really seeing it. They understood it. And they understood that's what they were destined for. And so when the persecution came, what they see? They see glory. They said, I'm doing this for Jesus Christ. That's glory. My life is being poured out for Him. That's glory. I am being stoned for His purpose. That's glory. They saw the glory of God in all that they do. I'm wondering if we see that. When you go to sometimes a thankless job, do you see that as being used for glory? Sometimes we think, well, it's a waste of time. But the way God works things out, He has us in where we're supposed to be. He's placed us where we're supposed to be. And so those are things that I wrestle with sometimes. Am I really understanding? Because if I gain that understanding, then I cope better with the world. I cope better with struggles when I see the glory that's being revealed. As I mentioned this morning, my goals, my agenda often get in the way of God's call to glory. In those times, I'll be honest with you, there's not much peace in my heart. Sometimes it's just getting a task done or doing something, it's almost like it's meaningless. It almost doesn't mean anything. But when my eyes are fixed on Jesus, things are different. The outcome is usually different. There's some passages I want to share with you that talk about His call for us and that call to glory and what He does in that call to glory. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, listen what He says to do. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Is that what you do? Do you let Him rule? What rules your heart? Probably what rules your heart is the way you probably makes you feel. But when God rules our heart, there is a peace that rests in us that passes understanding, is what the Scripture says. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. I love this little phrase, and be thankful. Am I thankful for what God has blessed me with? Somebody said this morning, we are rich. We are rich Christians. Are we thankful? I think sometimes Satan uses that richness to try to bring us down. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell. There's that glory. Let it dwell in your heart. Dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And the ways we do that, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with what? With gratitude in your heart. There's that thankfulness again. And whatever you do, whatever it is that you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Glory. Kavod, glory. It's amazing. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 says this, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Notice who's giving the encouragement and the endurance. It's not us doing it on our own. It's God giving it to us. I'm going to read that again because to me that just says so much. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may comprehend together the weight of His presence. I think oftentimes, when we come to worship, we're just doing our duty. We just come and we sit and we do our duty. But am I really considering the weight of glory that I am witnessing? Sometimes I don't think we do. Jesus was passionate about glorifying the Father. And I I have to ask myself, am I passionate for glorifying God in what I say and do? Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Paul's writing, and he's writing from his jail cell where he glorifies God. He says, taking the time, I'm going to write the churches. I'm going to glorify my Father. I'm going to encourage this church in Ephesus. And he says, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Every one of us, man, woman, child, has received a calling from God to live for Him the best that you can. And I love it that our God doesn't compare us to one another. He takes you and the gifts you have and the uniqueness that you have, and either you will glorify Him because you desire to and because you love Him, or you don't. And we have to ask ourselves, am I glorifying Him? Am I living a life worthy of the calling that I've received? It is a call to glory. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Wow, that's a hard one, isn't it? Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's peace and the Spirit going hand in hand together again. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called. You were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Dwelling. Glory. Dwelling. Man, I get that and I get chill bumps thinking about that kind of glory that God has called us to. In the book of Micah, the prophet gives a good synopsis of what God requires of us to glorify Him. In Micah, and I love it that it's all through the Scriptures how we might glorify Him. But these are just a few passages. In Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, he says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams? With 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression? Even offer on my own child? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. Hasn't God showed us what is good? When I read the words of Jesus, I see the good. He was good. And even He would say, no, I'm not good, but my Father's good. Call no man good. There's so much good in this place. There's so much good in you. There's so much that we have to share with the world so that they might see not our glory, but His glory by the way that we live. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Micah says it very simply. To act justly. To love mercy. It's like we talked about with Jonah this morning. Talked about he didn't want to have mercy on the Ninevites, but God said, I'm going to have mercy. You go and preach to them, Jonah. And He had mercy on them, as cruel and vicious as they were. To love mercy. To walk humbly with your God. Great synopsis of how to glorify God every single day. We ought to take that verse and put it on our mirror and say, this is the way I want to live today. I came across an old poster the other day that was given to me a long time ago, and I forgot I had it. And it just said on it, High Calling. And it said this. This is what it defined as the high calling to glory. The Lord may let others be honored and put forward and keep you hidden in obscurity because He wants to produce some choice fragrant fruit for His coming glory, which can only be produced in the shade. Think about that. May the Lord let others be honored and put forward and keep you hidden in obscurity, because He wants to produce some special fruit in a hidden place. God will let others be great, but He might keep you small. God will take you at your word. And if you absolutely sell yourself to be His love slave, He will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do things you cannot do or say. Settle it forever, that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, so that He is to have the privilege of tying your tongue and chaining your hand or closing your eyes in ways that others are not dealt with. The Holy Spirit's work in us to prevent us from going to places others go where we should not go. And I love what it says next. It says, now when you are possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart, possessed with, pleased and delighted over this peculiar and personal and private guardianship of the Holy Spirit, you will have found the sanctuary of heaven. There's that peace. There's that peace. This calling is about self-sacrifice. It's about putting ourselves, our very being, in the hands of our God to lead us. It's allowing His Spirit to possess us. Remember, we are a people for God's own possession. And when we answer the call to glory, here's the kicker. In 1 Peter 5 and 6. And I love what Peter says here. And I think about Peter as a person, as a man, as he tried to do what was right and stumbled and fell, betrayed Christ, and Christ reinstates him. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter's filled with the Spirit and proclaims the first gospel message. And he's speaking to us. And look at what he says, starting in verse 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, not just some of it, cast all of it on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Stand firm in the faith. And the God, listen to this, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Not to me, but to Him be glory and honor and praise forever and ever. So are you living to glory? Are you answering the call to glory? Because that's the way God wants you to live. He doesn't want you to see the struggles of the world and have them overwhelm you, although we do get overwhelmed at times. He wants you to see His glory. And I believe that even when we are overwhelmed in time, He reveals it to us and shows it to us. And I'm going to repeat the quote that I had this morning from Joshua Hams. Living to glorify God means doing everything for Him, His way, to point to His greatness and to reflect His goodness. Is that the way you're living today? Is that the way you live your life on a daily basis? That's what God calls us to. To glorify Him. You are children of the Most High God, and you have been called to glory. Therefore, glorify God in all you do. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for the amazing glory you have revealed to us in your word and in the creation. And Father, we are not worthy. We are unworthy to see that kind of glory. But yet you chose us out of the world to be called to eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, we are thankful. We just need that endurance and strength that you provide so that we can go out into the world tomorrow or even tonight when we walk out these doors and glorify you in the things we say, the things we do, and the way we live our life. Father, we want to be used for your purpose and your glory, and we want others to see that your glory is on us. Father, we want to help draw men to you, to your Son Jesus, because it is only in him that they will find the hope that we possess. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to speak today, and I pray that those things I've said have glorified and honored you, Lord, because you are worthy of all of everything that we are. Thank you for Jesus. He showed us how to glorify you. He did it the right way, and he did it all for you. And we want to do the same. Give us courage and strength to take that kind of stand of faith. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's anyone that needs prayer this evening, or anyone, somebody's made a decision to put on their Lord and Savior in baptism, remember, those are the good kind of interruptions. Those are the things that we love to see. If you have a need at all, please come as we stand and sing.